Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. And joining us on the phone right now is novelist Dan Brown. Dan has had a series of number one bestsellers. You probably know him from The Da Vinci Code or The Lost Symbol, Angels and Demons, Deception Point, Digital Fortress. The list goes on and
on. Keep going.
It goes on and on. We wouldn't have time to talk to him. His new book is called Origin. How are you, Dan? Nice to meet you.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Over 200 million copies of your books in print. Wow.
That's impressive. Are you? Be honest. This is you we're talking about. Even you have to be a little impressed at that accomplishment, aren't you?
You know what? I have. Well, as you said, my first three books, which you just very kindly mentioned, did not sell very well. They sold dozens of copies, mostly to my mother. And so I have a very clear recollection of what it's like not to sell books. So when I hear a number like you just said, it's a little bit of a. It still feels a little bit surreal. I'm very grateful for it.
Tell me about that moment, Dan, where you decide, I'm going to write another story, and then you sit down, maybe at a typewriter, you know, if you live in the 1940s, maybe at a computer, but you just stare at that blank page. What's going on in your head during that moment when it's just completely blank? There's not a word written yet.
You know what? It doesn't feel ominous at all, and the page doesn't stay blank for long. I don't suffer writer's block. I suffer sort of the other extreme, which is just I have so many ideas and so much I want to say that the hard work is figuring out what to take out. And so for every page you read in The Da Vinci Code or you know, this new novel, Origin, I will have thrown out probably, no exaggeration, 10 pages that were just too much.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. All right. Robert Langdon is back, right? This is another Robert Langdon story, correct?
Yes, it is. This one's set in Spain. It's about a futurist who makes a scientific discovery that he believes will shake the foundations of world religion. So, you know, another light, non-controversial.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, let's go back to the controversial angle for a little bit. A lot of people have said that your books, Dan, will bash religion, will bash Christianity. I never saw it that way. I'm sure you never saw it or intended it that way, right?
That's true. You know, my mother was a deeply devout Christian church organist. My dad was a math teacher, wrote math textbooks. And I grew up in this kind of paradoxical world of science and religion, and I was allowed to ask a lot of questions, and I did. And when The Da Vinci Code came out, which essentially, you know, despite what you may have heard, simply asked the hypothetical question, you know, what would it mean for Christianity if Jesus were not literally the Son of God? That's all that book asked. I thought it was a perfectly reasonable question to ask, and there were a bunch of people that disagreed. And, you know, this new book, I guess at its core, it asks, will God survive science? Again, I think it's a perfectly reasonable question to ask. I guess we'll see how the rest of the world feels.
Well, my son Dylan is receiving his confirmation this year and asked me about science and religion, which is right. Could you just have that talk with him then?
I'd be happy to. You know, good luck with that. You know, it's funny because the religious stories we learn as kids, I was confirmed and I went through that whole process, they are beautiful morality tales as long as we treat them as such. You look at the story of Adam and Eve, and it's fine. Until you... This is, again, my opinion, until you essentially say that's historical fact. And these two people in a magical garden created everybody on Earth, all the different races, had no problems with inbreeding whatsoever. That is historical fact, and this all happened 6,000 years ago. And we decide to teach our children that. That is where I feel like religion and science, you know, clash.
You know, the thing that really stunned me was this whole eclipse that just happened with complete totality, where you have the sun and the moon who are completely different sizes, but they're just enough distance away for one to cover the other. I don't know, that's pushing me in the science end of things.
Well, you know what? There are plenty of people who will look at that and say, oh, okay, so there is some sort of divine creator who set things up that way. And then you get science-minded people that say, hey, look, you know, you have to wait a pretty long time for an eclipse. It's you know, if they happened every day, I'd be impressed. But things happen randomly at some point if you wait long enough. And I can see both sides of the equation. But one thing I'll say is that we all have that experience, no matter what our religion or lack thereof, where we lie out under a star-filled sky, we look up, and we just sort of feel in awe. We say that this is bigger than I am. And we feel spiritual. And the problem comes when we try to define that in language, and we start, you know, assigning names to God. And, you know, it's really language that starts to make a mess of these universal experiences that we all have.
How would you say, Dan, that your hero, that Robert Langdon, has changed from the first time we met him until now in Origin? What's been the biggest metamorphosis for him?
I think he's less naive. I mean, he's somebody who, you know, basically grew up in an ivory tower and feels like we can be academically civil and have discussions about important topics. And he gets out in the world, he realizes, wow, some people feel so strongly about their truth that they refuse to even have a dialogue.
Yeah.
And he keeps running into these people. And, you know, people refer to these books and say, the few people who've read it have said, wow, this is going to be controversial. I see it as dialogue. I see it as a really important catalyst, I hope, to have discussions about topics that affect us all.
But do we have discussions anymore, or do people just fight? That's what I'd like to know. Dialogue, what's that?
You know, you're absolutely right, and it makes me so sad that you can say that.
I know.
But even if it is controversial, that's not the worst thing in the world for you, is it? That's a good thing, isn't it?
I think it's a good thing because, again, I grew up in a world of dialogue and having to be able to explain and quantify why you believe what you believe. And I've had discussions with people who say, well, I believe that because that's what it says in the Bible. And I say, okay, but what, you know, take it a step further. And there's I mean, a lot of friends who are religious scholars, and we debate. And, you know, I often lose. But I just enjoy the debate.
Yeah, and I mean, really, if you can have a discussion and listen to someone, who knows, you might actually learn something.
You might, and it may actually expand your view of the world.
Origin is what, your eighth book?
I think it's my seventh, but I'd have to go back and count. feels like my seventh.
All right.
A couple silly little humor books that probably don't count.
And you will be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for a book signing. Have you been to the Tivoli Theater? Because it's just gorgeous.
I haven't. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gonna talk. I'm gonna talk about a lot of these themes. I'm gonna talk about whether or not God will survive science. Historically, no God has ever survived science. The gods of the past have all fallen, and you know the question is whether or not we're naive to think the gods of today will be around in 100 years, and that's sort of the topic.
Are you happy with the job that Ron Howard has done and that Tom Hanks has done when they turn your books into movies? Are you pleased?
Of course. You know, these guys are incredibly talented, hardworking people, and I should say these books are very hard to adapt. They're very long. There's a lot of historical and scientific information. They're hard to compress into 2 hours. And the one thing I'm really grateful to Ron for is that every single movie he's made has preserved the spine of the book, preserved the heartbeat, and has really gone off this, you know, Inferno, essentially asked, you know, would you kill half the people on Earth to save the human race? That's a pretty direct question. He didn't shy away from it.
A friend of mine, Dave Pasquese, played a prominent role in Angels and Demons, and he told me that it's one of the honors of his lifetime to be in a movie based on one of your books.
Well, that's kind, and I'm guessing he meant it's an honor to work with Ron Howard and Tom Hanks.
That's what he meant. Yeah, that's what he meant. I cleaned it up a little bit, Dan, but yeah.
Thank you. I'm very politic. Thank you.
He's Dan Brown. Origin is his latest book, his seventh per his count, and a little book signing and a talk at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Your admission ticket includes one signed copy of the book, and you can go to andersonsbookshop.com. To find out more information, or just go to your website, danbrown.com. Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much.
Great meeting you, Dan. Take care. Continue to make some great literature, would you?
Will do.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
It's Dan Brown.